If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Ukraine's First Lady has turned down an invitation to be at the State of the Union tomorrow night, and there is some talk that she turned it down because the widow of Alexei Navalny was going to be there, but now I think she is not going to be there either. What's happening? Maybe Joseph Lindsley can shed some light on this and other matters from Ukraine. Hi, Joe.
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. Just a few hours ago, the city of Odessa came under attack, which we'll talk about in a moment. But regarding the First Lady of Ukraine, it does seem that she was invited to the State of the Union address tomorrow. And the reports were that she was going to be seated in the gallery next to the widow of Alexei Navalny. Now Navalny's widow has been uninvited. You know, it's hard to know, but it is extraordinary that, you know, think about 2 years ago, even when President Zelensky, you know, he appeared via video link to a special session of Congress when he spoke before Congress. And you see how this stuff starts to fade, even though the war continues. Ukrainians continue to hold on. Russians continue to attack. But for some reason, it fades. You know, you sort of lose these public moments. And so the fact that Olena Zelenska will not be there is extraordinary. And if indeed, you know, if she thought she was going to be sitting next to the widow of Navalny, it's, I think, well, completely understandable for everyone here why she would reject that. You know, it is sort of putting on an equal plane Navalny's widow. And as we've discussed, you know, what the timing of Navalny's death, you know, and Navalny was in a Russian prison camp, you know, totally under the control of Russia. Maybe it was an accident, but the timing of Navalny's death overshadowed the two-year anniversary of Ukrainian resistance against Russia's full-scale invasion. It overshadowed the 10-year anniversary of Ukraine's Maidan Revolution, when Ukrainians, unlike the Russian people, said, we will not live under Russian tyranny. They refused to do it. And it very shrewdly focused the attention of the world on one Russian. And, you know, with every bit of pro-Navalny coverage I've seen, I'm sure that Vladimir Putin has been smiling, because instead of talking about Ukrainians and their sacrifices and Russian atrocities, the world is focused on one Russian. And this, if you, you know, look into so much of Russian history and Russian literature, there's just this idea of the mysterious Russian soul. You know, the Russia is the empire for all times, and, you know, the summation of humanity. It is a kind of, it's a crazy belief. And notably, even Tucker Carlson, who's been a big proponent of Putin and interviewed Putin a few weeks ago, he was on a podcast last week, and the Lex Fridman show, I think. And even then, Tucker said, you know, Putin's obsession with Ukraine, with using that word denazification in Ukraine, he said it was bizarre. Even Tucker Carlson is starting to say, maybe this guy is a little bit cracked up. And but you do, there is this, and Ukrainians know this because they deal with this type of aggression every day. Even Russians who oppose Putin don't necessarily support Ukraine. And you know, Navalny made many imperialistic statements. He did once say that it was okay for Russia to attack Georgia, that small free nation that Russia did attack in 2008, and that it was okay to take Crimea. And, you know, whether it was speaking at the Academy Awards well before her husband died over a year ago, or recently, Alexei Navalny's widow hardly ever mentions Ukraine. And she gave that speech to the European Parliament, acting like everything was lost. She said, nothing is working, totally ignoring the reality that things are working. And so you can see the frustration on that score. And as we've discussed before, you know, the optics, you know, why would the White House even think of such an idea? But then you think about Joe Biden's TikTok video at the Super Bowl, President Biden's video, where he was talking about shrinkflation, and how snacks are getting smaller but more expensive. And he had a package of Oreo cookies next to him, and Oreo is the flagship brand of one of the major American companies flouting sanctions and continuing to do business in Russia. And so such optical questions, I think, should make people ask, you know, how serious is the administration about, you know, about this war, about fighting it? And meanwhile, we see how serious it is. Just a few hours ago, Odessa, that lovely city by the sea, came under fire. I watched a video of people attending a church service, and you could see, you know, as the building was shaking from the incoming missile. I'm not sure what the occasion was for them being in church today. They have had many funerals there lately because of those who were killed over the weekend. But this is very audacious because it was already known that the Greek prime minister was due to be in Odessa today with President Zelensky. We don't know if they were already there or not, but usually when there are foreign leaders visiting, the Russians kind of cool their jets a bit throughout the country. But here in the very city where Zelensky was due to be, was attacked. And this is unusual. One reason why the Greek prime minister was there, Odessa has deep roots with Greeks. It's a major port city. It's on the Black Sea. There has been a large Greek community there. And even going back to ancient times, the ancient Greeks had colonies there along the northern shore of the Black Sea. And so the Greeks want to do, the government has said they want to help Ukraine rebuild and help the city of Odessa. But that attack on Odessa today is yet another sign that Russians, you know, maybe some, you know, even though we've talked about how their winter offensive has failed and Ukrainians are taking, you know, Ukrainians sort of on their own are taking Russian jets out of the sky, the Russians are still poking and prodding world leaders. And in fact, President Macron of France gave a very strong speech. Again, he's sort of giving a series of stronger speeches. And he says, he said these words the other day: each day we, meaning the West or free nations, each day we explain what our strategic limits are faced with someone who has none. The spirit of defeat is there lurking. And he's saying, he echoing the words of the Czech president, of the Estonian president, and many others, is saying we need to be stronger, not only with words, but also with actions.
I saw a frightening report yesterday from the front. Ukraine soldiers were rationing ammunition, saying it's never been more difficult to hold off the Russians. The Russians have vast resources, ammunition, and soldiers. One Ukrainian fighter said he would probably die without more aid. You tell us about the great spirit, the unbroken spirit of the people there, and that is certainly the case, but it's a dire situation now, isn't it?
It is, especially at the front. I mean, it's with Ukrainian cities, you know, you can feel the strength, but at the front lines, those guys are doing everything they can to hold the line. Lately, we've been working with our teams of volunteers to get drone jamming backpacks. So one soldier can wear this backpack that will prevent or, you know, sort of break down the communications of incoming Russian drones. And that can protect up to a dozen guys as they're there, whether they're going on an offensive mission or whether they're trying to evacuate those who've been wounded. So we're trying, you know, while waiting for ammunition and things that we cannot provide, you have teams of volunteers doing everything they can to provide defensive mechanisms. And if you go to our website, UkrainianFreedomNews.com, we just posted a video that is inspiring of my friend. He's called Serhii the Ukrainian. He's a warrior, a father from Zaporizhia, and he's been fighting for his country. And he was badly wounded, as you'll see in the video. And we translate what he says. He says, "I ran out of bullets." And he said, you know, there was nothing he could do. And he was badly wounded. But he was, as the video shows, he was able to train and get back into fighting form. And the last scene, you see him picking up his gun. He's still struggling, but he's getting, you know, closer to being able to fire that gun again. But it does depend on having the ammunition and the support. And so for those who want to support, you can. You can support anti-drone technology backpacks. It's like $2,000 each. But that can hold the line. But what's really needed, of course, are long-range missiles, air defense, and ammunition.
You can help the cause and also see video of Joseph's conversations with us. It's all at UkrainianFreedomNews.com. As always, Joe, grateful for the kind of reporting that you can't get anywhere else. And hopefully it'll be a peaceful time for you tonight. Yep.
Thanks. Ahead, and Joe. Quick, on X.com tonight, on the former Twitter, I'll be speaking live on the Maria Report. So I welcome everyone. It'll be 2 o'clock p.m. Chicago time, 9 o'clock here. It's this 24-hour broadcast that has run nonstop for 2 years. since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, and I'll be talking at 2 o'clock Chicago time. You're welcome to join in, and you can ask questions by text or voice, x.com. Maria reports. Follow me at JP Lindsley on Twitter.
So easiest way to find that would be your ex at JP Lindsley, right?
That's correct.
All right. We'll check it out. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bob. Till tomorrow.